Do you have a prodigal in your family, a prodigal close to you, one of your children, maybe a spouse, someone that you love is a prodigal wandering away from the faith, wandering away from you, from the family, and your heart's breaking? Listen, there are good things, positive things, intentional things you can do, and stupid things you just can't do, all right? And so if you've got a prodigal or know someone who does, the next 28 minutes may change your life, because we're going to hear stories from prodigals. Those who've been down the trail, made that decision, they're going to tell you a little bit of their story and perhaps even what parents did right, did wrong. You can join in. Maybe you were a prodigal at some point, spiritually or otherwise, wandering away from the values, the things that you now hold. You know, in the process, people were hurt and relationships were damaged, but we'd like to hear not only your journey, but also specifically some help for those who are standing on the sideline right now, praying for, hurting, frustrated with someone in their life that they love who's wandered away, a prodigal, if you please. So if you've been down that trail, I think you're the best ones to help. And if you have some really positive and practical advice, input, we're going to open the phone to you first. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you know what? You can start where you are and change the ending. And that's really what we're talking about. Max Lucado talking about prodigals. He says, though we are prodigals, God continues to long for us, to run to meet us, and to bring us home. And so the message here is very clear. If you have a prodigal in your life, and we know the story of the prodigal in Scripture, you got to hang on, be faithful, pray. You got to pray, and you got to go about your life and be ready to reconnect. Maybe, not always, but you do the next right thing. You know, even it says, Jesus said when he was confronted with the Pharisees in Luke 15, he says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he's lost just one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after that one that's lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will lay it on his shoulders and rejoice. What a beautiful verse as a reminder that we are all kind of dumb sheep. And God does that for us. And we need to be standing by for those that we love who have wandered. You got a wanderer in your life? We're going to get some help from those who've been there. Kathy's up. By the way, my phone number is 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I happen to be the founder of Intentional Living, the host of this program for many, many, many years, more than you've probably been alive. I don't know. Jennifer here, she's just a young one. And Stephen, our executive producer. And we love you guys, want the best for you. So join in. If you've been a prodigal, got a story you want to share, positive, let's be really helpful, okay? All right, 888-888-1717. Kathy starts with this warning. Don't do this.
About the prodigal child that you're talking about, I was one of those. And there's one thing I want to recommend to parents to not say ever. My dad had told me, if you're going to leave, don't come back. He told me, you know, kind of like a threat, trying to make me to stay. He says, please don't do this. You cannot. It's once you leave, that's it. Can't come back. I was going to come back several times. I thought about it when things got really rough. And my mom asked me later on in life, this was like 30 years ago, why didn't you call us for help? Or why didn't you? I said, because it would ring through my head that Dad said, you know what? If you leave now, don't come back. We won't take you back. Words echoed through my mind the whole time for about 20 years. So anyway, that's one thing not to do if you have a prodigal child or if you think someone's going to leave. Don't ever say that. It might ruin their lives and your relationship. So, all right. Well, thanks. Okay, bye.
I left on our comment line. Kathy, you may have changed someone's life today. Because that's a tendency. I think we all would say, listen, after everything I've done for you and you're going to wander off spiritually and otherwise for me, then don't come back. I mean, that would be a gut reaction, I think, for some of us, especially men, because it's interesting. The study shows, a recent study, in fact, 26% of adult children report some estrangement from their fathers, while only 6% report estrangement from their mothers. their mothers are better at this than the dads, maybe. Come on, dads, because we're protectors. And we know what's right, and we think we do. And we want to jump in and fix things. And so in the process, we can rub those that we love in the wrong way. And in the process, it can be a problem. Not only kids, we're talking about prodigals. It could be a sister, a parent. It could be a spouse even. Maybe you've been there. What have you learned? You want to share with someone. Help them. 888-1717. Sounds like Joyce in New Mexico. Sounds like in your case, you got a prodigal husband.
Yes.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, my husband was Catholic. We started going to Christian church after my daughter passed away last year. We were doing fine going to church, and before we even started going to church, he had been cheating on me and doing things. And that was the reason I wanted to get close to God, because at that time I was ready to give up. When I lost my brother, my mom, and my daughter in 3 years, and dealing with him, and I was really done with everything. And so I started seeking God, and I started listening to Family Life Radio, which helped me a whole lot. And ever since I started listening, I just started getting closer to God, and I went back to Christian church, got baptized, and he started going with me, and he got baptized.
Amen.
But I think he got baptized just to... for me to be quiet.
All right.
And not tell him anything, because he's still doing the same thing. But at this point, I just need prayer for him. And I've decided to give him his divorce. And I've asked God, and I've prayed on it. And I think he needs to...
Does he want the divorce? Is he asking for the divorce? He wants out? Or is this you're initiating?
Yeah, he wants out. He told me he didn't care what I did.
Joyce, if I were to ask him right now, what's the issue? Why are you divorcing Joyce? What would he say, do you think? Just be really open and objective. What would he tell me?
He doesn't. No, it's all my fault.
Is your fault because of why? In his view.
He won't admit. We tried going to counseling at church and stuff, because I've talked to some of the pastors there, and I've tried getting counseling for our marriage, and he went one time, and he doesn't like it. And he'll go to church on Sunday, and then come out Sunday, he'll just totally change back to doing the same thing all over again.
All right. Well, Joyce, listen, the question I'm asking, the reason I'm asking that is, I'm not trying to point blame at anybody. I'm just trying to say, one of the things I've learned is this little 3-foot control thing. I can only control myself. I can't control what my wife Donna does, or our kids or grandkids, even though I'd like to sometimes, but I can't. And so one of the things I can do is get into myself and say, hey, how can I, what's going on in my life? What's happening here with me through all of this? And how should I respond in a way that will honor Christ, bring glory to him, be his intention, and bring benefit, in this case, to your marriage and your family. So here's what I encourage you to do. I'd take your area of control, your heart, your mind, your decisions, and go find a counselor where you can just sit down and say, God, I need some help, and I pray that this person can give me some insight, ask some questions, help me think this through, and make some decisions and learn some things myself. Listen, we are so passionate about trying to save marriages and helping marriages survive and families stay intact that we got to give God a real chance here. We got to give God a chance to do something. Now, I don't know all the other story and what's going on with your husband. I agree things have to be confronted when they're not going the right direction. But one of the things we know about a prodigal is we can't change them. We can only change ourselves. We'll be praying for it. Pray for Joyce, won't you? She's struggling. She asked for prayer right out of the chute. And let's remember her today. Thank you, Joyce. All right, Yolanda, you're next in Georgia. How are you today?
Hi, I'm doing well, sir. How are
good,
you?
Good, appreciate your call. Were you a wanderer, a prodigal?
Yes, I was. I married this gentleman, and... we had a lot of problems, and it was any imaginable problem you can get. It was basically controlling. He was very controlling. After going through and continuing for almost 2 years, I decided I was going for counseling. So I went, I received counseling for 1 month because I felt lower than the snail. And after 1 month, I kind of evened with it, you know? And I waited till he was at work. I packed everything. I got my car and I drove 3 hours to somewheres where I knew. And I had to go to counseling. I was very angry. I had so much hatred in me. And life just stunk. I couldn't understand why, but I did that. I went through counseling. He was not a happy person when a week later he found out I left.
Backed up, left. Took a week for him to find out.
So, I kind of cleaned the house and took everything out of my closet and my drawers and left. And he thought I was angry.
Oh, so he thought, oh, you just went away and then you'll be coming back. Had you done that before, been away and come back?
No, never did, but he figured that's what I did. And a week later, he accidentally opened my closet door, and it was nice and clean.
Hey, she's gone.
So he,
right.
So he called, and I spoke with him and told him, get the divorce, watch what you say, because if you try something crazy, we'll be in court.
Wow. So and what's happened as a result of this? Bring us to the, what changed?
As a result, I changed for one, because that's when I literally found out, quit worrying what other people are going to think. Do what you feel is right, and that will better you. I did that. Now, as far as my ex, he was so upset and everything, he went to counseling. He has remarried. He has changed like day and night.
Interesting.
Because he went to counseling. He was remarried in a church. We never went to church. He didn't want to go.
So you both had, through this experience, you both had the aha or the oh no moment that became an aha moment. Isn't it unfortunate when you really think about it? Your story and others, where we sometimes wake up a little bit too late. If we'd have that aha moment just about 10 days earlier or 2 weeks earlier or a year earlier, we could avoid so much pain. So much pain. And let me just say, I know some of you are listening right now, and your prodigalness, if that's a word, is not in your past, it's in your present right now. And for whatever reason, you turned the radio or you were searching or you found the podcast and you're listening because the word prodigal kind of hit home. And I think of the story of Jesus, the parable of the prodigal, and when the son finally hit the bottom in the pig pen, he woke up and said, hey, you know, it's better back there than here. And maybe you're feeling that way today. And I don't know your story. I don't know. But I do know your story because we've heard so many. You need to pick up the phone today. You need to go somewhere, find some help. Maybe it's the parent that still has the door open to you, a grandparent, pastor. I think about our own gospel rescue mission here in Tucson. Man, these guys are doing such a fantastic job, and I hear the stories of changed lives. Maybe that's where you need to go. I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, living in the pit ain't a good place to be. And like the prodigal that went back to the father's house, it changed his life, the trajectory of his life. And, you know, you could do the same thing today in some fashion. Maybe this will be the start. If you've been a prodigal and you buy into what I just said, you've learned, you've experienced that. I want to hear your story. What have you learned as a prodigal? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It's time to move on to the fourth circle. I don't have any control. And that's a difficult circle to be in. I don't even have any influence. You know, there's a lot of people we have no influence over. Our ministry can do all the great things that we do every day, and there's some people who have no interest in being influenced by anything that we're going to share. That's why that's the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That's the power of God that has to work in that person's life. I have no control over the weather, traffic, neighbors, and even the prodigal dad had no control over his prodigal son. There's a point in relationships that we move from influence to no control whatsoever. And that's a difficult thing, isn't it?
That's a clip from a very powerful and practical and certainly timely lesson this month from Intentional Living on the circles of control. And I talk about the circle of we have control of, you know, the little 3-foot rule that I talk about. And then we have the circle of influence, how we can impact and influence people. We can do that. We don't control them, but we have influence. And then there really is a circle out there. We have zero control of anything. And learning to manage each of those is a part of the process. That lesson is up online. I hope you will get it, share it with somebody, listen to it, learn from it, benefit from it. That's why we do it. And it's at theintentionallife.com. Click on the little heading there that takes you to listen, I think it says, and there's lots of help there for you. By the way, all of that is really made possible because of the practical, financial, monthly support of men and women who pray for and keep Intentional Living going. And I want to thank you. And if you're not a part of the team, come on, be a part of this. Make a difference. Invest in a life change today. How do you do that? You can call 888-888-1717. Press number 2. It'll take you right to our staff. They're happy to say, hey, welcome to the family and get you signed up and become a part of our auto giving. Or you can go online and do it safe and securely there at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Were you a prodigal? What have you learned? Alicia, you're next. What's your story?
Well, I was calling because I have been the prodigal daughter, and I just kind of wanted to offer some words of encouragement.
Good.
To maybe parents that are listening that have a child that is going through this stage of life. And for me, thankfully, it was a stage of life. And I just kind of wanted to just talk about the creativity and just the love of our God, because he just brought me back in the most unexpected way. And and so...
Well, hold on for just a second, Alicia. Before we hear how you came back, because we want to hear that, What do you think was going on? What caused you to say, hey, I'm going to wander here a little bit? What was going on?
I think it mostly was some things that had happened to my sister. She didn't have the best childhood and experiences in church. She was kind of hurt a little bit. And so she was angry at God for a long time. But recently she's been thankfully kind of telling me she's praying again. And so that's a big encouragement too, that my sister was able to come out of this dark place too. But seeing that was hard for me.
Yeah. All right.
It was really hard for me to see that with her. And I just didn't understand why God was not intervening or just, you know, stuff like that. And so it just kind of made me question things as a young, you know, teenager.
Well,
so.
I understand. And by the way, I hear a lot of these stories. I hear a lot of people who they've had bad experiences with Christians or the church, and that, of course, affects how they view even the relationship with God. It shouldn't, but it does. So what brought you back? What was it, your journey?
In college, I went to an art school, so that was kind of as liberal as you get, but I developed this love for the drink tea. I just loved tea for whatever reason. And God used that in his creativity and in his love for me to just, he planted a ministry-based tea shop in where my mom and dad were while I was in college. And when I moved back home, I just didn't know what I was going to do. I was finishing up my degree. And so I thought, oh, well, I love tea. Why don't I go maybe volunteer at this place? And the people there were just so awesome. And it really just brought me back and made me feel the love of God again and not really question his love. And so I just think it's so cool how creative he can be and what things he can use in your life that you just don't expect at all.
Yeah, even a tea shop, right? Because it was not the tea, but the people there that loved on you and were Christians, and they just loved you back into the fold, as it were. So it wasn't mom and dad, it wasn't the church, it was these people at the tea shop who loved the Lord.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily a pastor, it was just being around good people. And just the crazy thing was just it all revolved around tea, like the most random thing, you know? So yeah. I just think that's so creative of him to just use that of all things.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alicia. What a story. You know, may not be you. It could be somebody else. Impact their lives. And I say to those of us, who can we impact today who's a prodigal? Speaking of that, we have a prodigal who's on the line, and we're going to get to that call in just a moment.
Nobody likes being out of control, but no one can control everything. And the circle of things we can control is actually pretty small.
How we deal with this circle of controlling ourselves is going to impact everything else in our life. I believe that 95% of our success in life, spiritually, relationally, in our marriages and our family, is in this circle.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Circles of Control, he talks about the issue of control and how we can live a better life by having the right perspective on what we control. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, thank you, Kurt. They're up there online right now. You can get at them and share them. Listen, I want you to share them with other people. Get other people to get connected with Intentional Living. We live in a world of very unintentional people, frankly, within the church, Christian community. You know, we're different situations. Learning to really be intentional in what God's intention is, it's good for you and for me. And you're making it possible for us to do this. Come and join. Go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. Anne, are you there?
Yes.
And yes. It says on my screen that you are a prodigal now.
Kind of, still, yes.
What's going on?
My husband and I have been married since high school, and we're in our early 60s. About 3 years ago, I cheated on him, and he's forgiven me. We're working through it. We have more good days now than we do bad days.
Yeah.
But we have 3 grown children, and they know, and they were, of course, were hurt and angry and confused. One of them has just completely hasn't spoken to me for 3 years and has completely cut his me out of his children's life. And so I lost 3 grandkids and a son, pretty much.
I'm so sorry.
I'm a Christian. I was raised in the church. I know what I did was wrong.
Yeah. God's forgiven you, though. Has God forgiven you, Anne?
Yes, he has.
All right, and you know that. That's a fact, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's not so much you're a prodigal. It sounds to me like you're back where God wants you to be, but you're just facing some of the consequences of your prodigalness in the past. Is that true?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are you and your husband doing? How would you rate overall? Sounds like it's getting better.
It's definitely getting better. Like I said, we have more good days than we do bad.
That's good. That's normal. That's good.
I went to counseling. He wouldn't go, but I don't know. We're working through it. I know it was wrong. Like I said, I was raised in the church. We raised our kids in the church. That is probably the hardest thing for them.
Yeah. You're beating yourself up a lot, aren't you, Ann?
I really messed up my family.
Yeah. How long ago was this, Ann?
About 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, you know, some of the study we've done, it can take 5-6 years and sometimes longer from healing. Sometimes there's going to be a scar, right? I really appreciate you calling, Ann, because I would change the definition of you are a prodigal to you were a prodigal. And you know what? We all were. Our stories are different. Yours is one that, boy, has some significant impact on other people. Sometimes it's mostly impact on ourselves, but there's always some impact, for sure. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who made the statement, come and welcome to Jesus Christ, even the vilest prodigal will find mercy in the Father's house. Isn't that a beautiful verse? It's a reminder. And so, Ann, here's what I encourage you to think about and pray about. You're on your way with your husband in a positive direction and keep working in that way. Get the counseling you need. Work through the whys and hows and the things in your own life. Love those kids and keep the door open for them. But don't grovel. Don't beg. Don't demand. Allow God to do some healing. It'll take time. You're going to have some moments in life. There's going to be some tragedies and positive things and moments where you'll interact with the family more. And they're watching. They get a chance to see what's going on in your life and the changes in your life. But I really challenge you, Ann, and everyone, if you've been a return from wherever it's been that you've gone and you're back in the Father's arms, do not allow Satan to drag you down into the lies that he's going to whisper into your ear. You take it from where you are at this moment. This is intentional living. Can't go back to yesterday. Can't change yesterday. But you know what? I can change today for tomorrow. Pray for Ann. Okay? Thank you, Ann, for the confidence and trust to share that story with us today. I tell you what, we're going to keep rolling here. We got some more calls to get to, and we're going to record the show. It'll air next week. Next Wednesday, I think. If you've been a prodigal, what has God taught you? Give us a call, 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living from Intentional Life Media.